Imagine with me if you were paid $86,000 a day. Every day, day in and day out, you were getting paid $86,000. I mean, that's almost the salary of the NFL commissioner, isn't it? $86,000 a day given to you, but there's a couple caveats to that. And the first caveat is that anything left in your account at midnight, you lose. So it gets deposited at midnight, but then at 11:59 that night, anything left over that isn't used, it gets wiped out. The second caveat is you never know when the deposits will end. You could have just one deposit of $86,000. Could be a week, could be a month, could be a year, could be decades that every day you get $86,000 put into your account. That'd be pretty cool, right? But how are you going to manage that? My guess is you're going to be pretty careful about it. Some of it you're going to use for enjoyment. Yeah, wow, $86,000 a day, that's great. But also, you're probably going to be pretty careful on how you invest it, because you never know when they're going to stop making the deposits. So $86,000 a day sounds great, but it also comes with it a responsibility. My friends, you have all been given 86,400 seconds every day. And at the stroke of midnight, they're done. You can't carry any of them with you. You can't store it up for a later time. And the fact of the matter is, you never know when you're not going to get the 86,400 seconds again. Might be just one day, might be a week, might be years. But there's a finite amount. So how are you going to spend your 86,400 seconds that are given to you each day? My guess is you want to be pretty careful with it. You use some of your time for enjoyment, but also you want to be careful on where you invest your time and where you spend your time, because you're not quite sure how much time you'll have left. In the account for today, Mary and Martha had very different ideas on where they would spend their time. Mary sat at the feet of Jesus as if she had all the time in the world to listen to her. Martha, on the other hand, full of anxiety and anxiousness about all of her guests, felt like she had no time at all. In the end, Jesus makes it very clear of how we should spend our time. But let's take a moment and understand Martha, shall we? Martha always gets a bad rap. We always want to wag our finger at her and say, what's wrong with Martha? She is Jesus, the Son of God, in there. Why is she flitting about doing all those things? And why is she picking on her sister Mary? After all, Mary's listening to Jesus. Shouldn't we all listen to Jesus? But let's give her a fair shake, will we? Martha had no time. In her mind, she had no time at all because she had a big responsibility. Let's walk through the story. We start at verse 38. So Jesus and his disciples are traveling around. It says, now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into, key phrase, her home. So this is Martha's home. So that means she's either a widow, or at the very least, she's the older of the two sisters of Mary and Martha. That means that she's responsible for all the guests that come into her home. And she wants to make sure that she takes care of them well. And she wants to be a good host for them, because after all, she's the head of the household. She has that responsibility. All right, so there's Martha. Martha, being very responsible, invites Jesus, thrilled that the teacher would come and have dinner at her house. Next verse, though, verse 39. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. So for us, we read that and we go, okay, that sounds reasonable. Why wouldn't she do that? They're sitting in the living room. Martha's probably out in the kitchen getting things ready, right? And Mary's just sort of hanging out in the living room listening to Jesus. Except we're putting our modern-day lenses on something that happened 2,000 years ago. In Jesus' day, culturally, Mary had no business at the feet of Jesus. Culturally, in Jesus' day, if you sat at the feet of a teacher, that was the position of a disciple. A disciple would learn from the teacher and then someday would go on to be a teacher themselves. Well, that's all well and good, except that women were prohibited from being disciples. This is in Jesus' day, not our day, right? So Mary is breaking all kinds of social norms, right? She's sitting at the feet, the posture of a disciple, listening to Jesus. Everyone knows, including Martha, that Mary is not where she should be. A side note here, notice that Jesus is always breaking social norms. This is particularly true with women. Jesus always treats men and women equally. Jesus has absolutely no problem with the fact that Mary is there as the posture of a disciple taking in all of the teachings. Everyone else, on the other hand, probably takes issue with this. Who knows? Maybe there was an undertone in the room. What's she doing in here? Why is she here? Meanwhile, you got Martha, who's getting hyped up as every second goes by because she's got this crowd full of people that she's got to take care of. You can almost feel the tension kind of growing in the air. Go to the next verse. But Martha was distracted with much serving. Well, sure she was. Give her a break. It says Jesus is traveling with his disciples. At the very minimum, that's 12 of them. Oftentimes, he traveled with large groups of people, all right? But let's just say it's the 12. That means she's got 15 hungry mouths to feed, including her. And so how's she going to take care of all that? It's not like she could order out for pizza, right? All right, so she's got to get it all ready, all right? And so she sees this myriad of details, and she wants to be a good host about the whole thing. And there's Mary sitting on her duff listening to Jesus instead of doing what she's supposed to be doing culturally, which is helping her sister get ready. Well, it kind of hits a boiling point at that. And so she, that is Martha, went up to him, which is Jesus, and she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." Unfortunately, we're losing the full impact of these two lines is getting translated to English. The first one is dripping with sarcasm and passive aggressiveness. "Don't you care that Mary's left all of this to me?" And then the last one, she actually gives Jesus a command. "Tell her to come and help me." This was not a request. It wasn't Martha coming up saying, "Jesus, I'm really busy. I got a lot going on. Would you mind giving Mary a nudge? She must have forgot that I'm busy over here. So tell her to come and help me." No, 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 no. This is a command of the strongest sense that she says to Jesus, "You tell her to get out here and help me." Now look what's happened to Martha, in fairness. She's all excited that Jesus is coming into her house. She's honored to have this teacher there. But she's getting so worked up that now she's telling him what to do. She's mad at her sister, and now she's kind of mad at Jesus too. She's gotten to the point that Martha has no time for Jesus. Do you see the irony in this? She's thrilled to have Jesus in her home, but now Martha has no time for Jesus. Jesus responds to her. Verse 41. But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things." The word choice here, again, is very important. It says, "You're anxious and troubled about many things." This harkens back to language that Jesus had used earlier. You may remember the parable of the sower and the seeds, talking about the sower goes out and he sows his seeds. Some of it falls on rocky ground, some of it falls along the thorns and the thistles, some of it on fertile ground, and then how each of the seeds grow. And then he goes on to explain the meaning of that parable. So let's dive in at that point as he explains the meaning of what happens when it's sown among the thorns and the thistles. So chapter 8 of Luke. "And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked," and here's where the same word is used, "by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. So instead of maturing and growing in their faith, he's using the same words here, that Martha is so consumed by all the cares of this world that she essentially has no time for Jesus. She's consumed with just getting everything prepped and ready to be a good host. I'm not saying that the dinner wasn't important, because it was, right? But she is consumed by that to the point where she has no time for Jesus. Do you have no time? We don't start out that way. Nobody gets up in the morning and says, I have no time for Jesus today, right? But just like Martha, we can get sucked in to the busyness of life and all of the demands of life and all of our schedules that are coming in us that we don't have any time for Jesus. We don't set out to do that, but it ends up the circumstances of life in general leads us down a path where we have no time to be with Jesus, this time of year especially. And the irony cannot be missed. We're getting ready to celebrate the birth of Jesus, but we're so busy getting ready, we don't have any time for Jesus because we've got too many things to do. Consumer Reports did a poll of Americans, found out that on average, we spend 42 hours getting ready for Christmas. 42 hours of shopping, wrapping, returning, traveling to and from family. So 42 hours are invested in just getting ready for Christmas. 15 of those hours are spent shopping. As a caveat of this, the study also revealed, the study, not me, women spend twice as much time shopping as men. Just saying, on average, women shop for 20 hours where men shop for 10. As for me, I can get it all done in 90 minutes, including travel time. Just saying, right? But we can spend so much time getting ready for Christmas that we don't have time for Jesus. You see, Mary made time. Mary knew that she had 86,400 seconds, and so she chose how she was going to spend her time. And she was not going to miss the fact that the teacher had come into their home. She wasn't going to miss one syllable that Jesus had to say. This is a once-in-a-lifetime event. And so she would sit at the feet of Jesus and drink in all that he had to say. And this is what Jesus said about this. In verse 42, he says, "But one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." At the end of the day, there's only one thing that's necessary, and that's our relationship with Jesus. Mary is investing in her relationship with Jesus, and she won't miss this opportunity. Again, I'm not saying that the supper wasn't important. Martha's got a house full of guests. The only thing that I will remind us of, there was another occasion where Jesus was teaching through the dinner hour, and he took a couple fish and a couple loaves of bread, and he took care of things. Now, I'm not sure how Jesus would have taken care of things. There's probably a myriad of ways in which the thing could have handled differently. But the bottom point is that Martha is so consumed by getting preparations ready, she doesn't have time for Jesus. Mary makes time for Jesus. And Jesus says she's right. Would you make time for Jesus? Make time to be in his presence and to be in his word. Especially this time of year, we're doing all this prep to get ready to celebrate his birth. Well, then let's spend some time with him. Can you be at the Advent midweek service on Wednesday, either 12:30 or 6:30? 90 minutes. 90 minutes would be a full commitment of your time, and for most of you, that includes travel time. Can you spend 90 minutes to be with Jesus, the one who you're going to celebrate his birth? Can you spend just a couple moments each day? number of years ago, I signed up with Lutheran Hour Ministries for their Advent devotions. I don't remember when I did. All I know is just every Advent, they start popping up in my inbox. About 7 a.m., they pop in. I click on the link. It's really cool. Do you remember those Advent calendars where as a kid you took the little piece of paper and opened up like the little window, right? Some of you are old enough to remember that. They were cool, right? That's how they got the website designed. So you click on the day and it opens up. I think it's cool. You may not. Anyways, and there's a great devotion in there, right? Just take some minutes. Go to Lutheran Hour Ministries and sign up for it. If you don't want to go through that much work, if you look at the insert in your bulletin, you'll see in the back side of the note side, I've listed a short verse for every day between now and the 24th. And I made sure that they were short. Can you pin that up on the fridge? And then each day, just read that. Just read that short verse. Meditate on it for a couple moments. Say a short prayer and say, I've spent some time with Jesus. Now I can go on with the rest of my activities, but I'm going to make time for Jesus. You got 86,400 seconds every day. You can't carry any of them over, and you don't know when they'll end, which means you should be pretty careful on how you spend your time. Jesus says there's just one thing that's necessary. Make time for him. Amen. Would you stand and pray with me? Heavenly Father, we can't thank you enough for the gift of your Son, Emmanuel, to have God with us. We pray that the distractions of this life would not keep us from being in his presence. By the nudging and the urging of your Holy Spirit, help us to make time for Jesus every day. In his name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.